Good morning, Trinity. It's good to hear your voices. I don't want to do it again, but I know you'd get louder, so that might wake Eric up in the back. We are glad that you're here, and we are very honored to have each of you here. God has a plan and a purpose for each of us, but he has a plan for you being here today. And so he's got something he wants to whisper in your ear, to speak to your heart, and whatever that is, I know it'll be good. So may God bless you in this time of worship. We have a couple of cards we'd like to have you fill out, if you would. One is for our visitors and guests alike, as well as our members, and that is for your attendance. And since we're going to have a drawing one of these weeks coming up, I want to make sure that you don't miss out on that, okay? So the more often you're here, the more often you have a chance to win that special, special prize. Then the other thing, we also have a prayer request card. Please fill that out. If you have a prayer card, concerns, please fill it out and let us know what's going on, how we might be able to assist for our prayers here today, as well as for any hospital visits or things such as that. So give us all the information we'll need. We'll try and follow up on that. God's richest blessings. Now I'd like to have you stand and shake hands and word of welcome. We make our beginning this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us now confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean, that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake he forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of the word and by the authority of Jesus Christ, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and their praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. Since the feast of victory for our God, alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Worthy is Christ the Lamb who was slain, whose blood set us free to people of God. This is the feast, victory. The Lord be with you.
And also
with you. Let us pray together. O Lord, you granted your prophets strength to resist the temptations of the devil and courage to proclaim repentance. Give us pure hearts and minds to follow your Son faithfully into suffering and death through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
The Old Testament reading for today is from Amos chapter 7. This is what the Lord God showed me. Behold, the Lord was standing beside a wall built with a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said to me, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a plumb line. Then the Lord said, Behold, I am setting a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will never again pass by them. The high places of Isaac shall be made desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste. And I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, Amos has conspired against you in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. For thus Amos has said, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel must go into exile away from this land. And Amaziah said to Amos, O seer, go flee away from the land of Judah, eat bread there, and prophesy there, but never again prophesy at Bethel, for it is the king's sanctuary, and it is a temple of the kingdom. Then Amos answered and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, nor a prophet's son, but I was a herdsman and a dresser of sycamore figs. But the Lord took me from following the flock, and the Lord said to me, Go prophesy to my people Israel. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle lesson is from Ephesians chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, so the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he has lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him, who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The gospel appointed for this Sunday is written in the book of Mark, chapter 6. King Herod heard about all of this, for Jesus' name had become made known. Some said John the Baptist has been raised from the dead. That is why these miraculous powers are at work in him. But others said he's Elijah, and others said he's a prophet like one of old. But when Herod heard of it, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised. For it was Herod who had sent and seized John and bound him to prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because Herod had married her. For John had been saying to Herod, It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And Herodias had a grudge against John and wanted him to be put to death. But she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he kept him safe. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he heard him gladly. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his noble and his military commanders and the leading men of Galilee.
For when Herodias' daughter came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests. And the king said to the girl, "Ask me for whatever you wish, and I'll give it to you." And he vowed to her, "Whatever you ask of me, I will give it up to you, up to half of my kingdom." And she went out, and she said to her mother, "For what should I ask?" And she said, "The head of John the Baptist." And she came immediately in with haste to the king and asked, saying, "I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter." And the king was exceedingly sorry, but he, because of his oath and his guest, he did not want to break his word to her. And immediately the king sent an executioner with orders to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in prison and brought his head on a platter and gave it to the girl. And the girl, she gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard of it, they came and took John's body and they laid it in a tomb. Here ends the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated.
Mercy and peace be richly poured out upon each of you this very special day. You know, there's one question that has stumped many modern and U.S. theologians of this century. And that question is why some pastors can play golf and others cannot. I am here to tell you the story that I recalled about golfing one time. I was to golf with my brother-in-law, Craig, and I was also to golf with Desiree's cousin, Wesley, from Australia, short for Wes. And anyway, you probably need to know that Wes is also a semi-pro golfer, so golf was his world and his life. I remember going that morning with gladness as I was going to go and play golf, at least to hang out with the guys and to be with them. And I thought it would be kind of fun. And so I went to the trunk of my car, as I popped the lid, or as Wes called it, the bonnet. I didn't see my clubs. They weren't there. So I ran quickly into the house, and I looked in our bedroom closet, and I didn't see my clubs in the bedroom closet. And then I looked in the coat closet, my clubs weren't there either. And I ran back out to tell them, "Guys, I don't know where my clubs are." And all this time, as Wes is just shaking his head and scratching it. And in any case, I went to the garage. I said, "I'll be right back." And I went to the garage and looked through the garage, and I didn't see my clubs. I came out and said, "I don't have my clubs. I don't know what I'm going to do. I guess I'll have to rent some." So we went and we rented some clubs. And as we're about ready to golf and get up on the first hole, Wes scratches his head and he just looks at me and he doesn't say anything. And with that Aussie accent, he says, "Mate, I can't remember a time when such a thing has happened." He said, "Mate, I can understand a man losing his wallet or maybe his keys,
maybe even a cat or his dog or one of the kids. But I can't imagine a mate ever losing his clubs. But you know, there's many things and mysteries in life that are much more important than golf. One of the most important is why some people are believers in Jesus Christ and others are not. Or put another way, why some people are saved while others are not. Or why some people will spend their eternity in heaven with Jesus while others will not. Would you pray with me? Lord and Savior Jesus, we come with bended knee and humbled hearts. And we ask you to help us with this mystery of life because we have loved ones in our family, in our friendships, in our world that we know don't know you as Lord and Savior. That makes us uneasy. And perhaps we're struggling also, Lord, in our faith. And so whatever the reason, no matter why we're here, may you help us to hear your answer today, Lord Jesus. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul preached this question of why some are saved while others are not in the city of Ephesus. You need to understand that the city of Ephesus was a very important city in the area that we now call Turkey. And the city of Ephesus had a harbor that emptied out into the Aegean Sea. And so commerce from around the world would come to this port and would also had several trade routes that came into Ephesus that were the trade epicenter. It is so powerful of a city that even the Romans, in their culture, brought one of their goddesses and built a temple to Diana at this temple port. And as a result, we also know that Paul thought very highly of the city of Ephesus. It had become a major city of evangelism and church growth. It was a place where he spent 3 years staying in one place to plant this church of Ephesus. And in the book of Revelation chapter 2, we are reminded that though they had stood various trials in Ephesus, and they'd even had false prophets there, they had now, regrettably, lost their first love, their very reason for existence. You know, Orlando is a lot like Ephesus. It's a commercial and technological center, a medical center. It is having all kinds of research and development coming into this place. People from all over the world are shipping their containers to our ports as we look from Jacksonville to Miami and beyond and between. We see that Florida is a very important commerce of the world, its epicenter, if you will. But here, as God's church, as Trinity Lutheran Church, we also see that we are at an epicenter of evangelism, of making disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here in this place, we see from Trinity, as I shared with you 2 Sundays ago, in this building, which was then just pretty new, but the congregation was about 30 years old. The Florida Georgia District was birthed in this very place. Today, the Florida Georgia District is made up of over 205 congregations and over 60 schools. From this very place, this congregation birthed and mothered several of those churches within Orlando. You see, we knew then, and we know now, that the purpose for this church is to go and to make disciples. That is not only our one job, it is job one. And we too must not lose our first love. That love is for the Lord Jesus Christ. God commands us, Jesus commands us, love our neighbors as ourselves. But also to love God. Nothing in this world or life comes before Him. And that we are to love God above all other things. Paul begins this letter to the book of Ephesians in the 3rd verse. Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Don't miss that.
God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. You know, every church, including this one, we talk about, think about, look at the fact that our resources, we think, are too small to do whatever. But what we just heard from God's own word is, praise be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. In other words, we have all that it's going to take to get what He wants us to do done. He's blessed us, Trinity, with everything that we need to do what God has called us to do. And He's announced that from the heavenly realms. But you know, very personally, not just corporately as a church, but individually, our Heavenly Father, because of Christ, has said to you and to me, you will pass through the pearly gates. He's made that a promise to you. He's also said you will walk on those streets paved with gold, that you will live in a heavenly mansion that has been prepared for you, and you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You will also be seated at the banquet table of your Lord, and you will stand in the presence of God, and you will see the face of your beautiful Savior and sit in His presence along with all the saints of all the times that have gone before you and before me. That's a beautiful promise. Why are some people, though, saved while others are not? Those who believe, Paul says, it's all God's doing. Now he says it in these words. Those who do not believe, they have rejected the Son of God sent to save them. It's as simple as that. As Christians, we believe that we cannot, by our own reason or strength, come to the Son of God or be saved by Him without the Holy Spirit calling and enlightening us with the gospel and giving us His gifts and then sanctifying us, making us holy, keeping us in the true faith. That's the Holy Spirit's job. It is not my breathing that gives me life, even though I have to have breath to live. I credit God for giving me the lungs to breathe and the air necessary to breathe. It is not, likewise, not my believing that saves me, even though I must believe to come to Christ, but it is Jesus, the content and sum of my faith, that saves me. It's not my believing that saves me, but rather Christ, the one in whom I believe, that saves me. Does that make sense? Paul wants you and me to know that God gets the credit for our faith. Love. She did it for love. She did it because she loves me. That's what my dad told me when I asked. You know, Mom's been here almost every night, all the time. It seems like around the clock. And he says, she did it because she loves me. I remember my mother sitting by my father's bedside for over a month straight, never going home, sleeping and staying the nights and the days, and seeing other family members come and go, but she stayed. I was proud of my mom. I was very proud of her, because even though the years had become more and longer, the memory of her commitment that she had made at the altar that she would stand by her man in sickness and in health until death us do part. That's where my mom would be. And with tears in my dad's eyes, he said, she did it because she loved me. Outside the tomb of Lazarus, Jesus wept. But also in our lives, I want you to know, with the birth of every baby, with the blessing of every person that God blesses, you can almost see tears in our Heavenly Father's eyes. Because He wants you to know this so deeply, He with tears in his eyes, you can almost say that he did it all because he loves you, just simply because of that, because before the creation of the world, verse 4, today's text, he chose you. And I will say simply because he loves you. Yes, God so loved you that he gave his only begotten son so that whosoever would believe in him wouldn't perish. Think of it, before the first star was hung in the sky. Think of it, before the first night and day had passed, God had already chosen you. Think of it, before the first breath had been taken and the air that came into your lungs was filled, before then, God had already chosen you. God chose you not because of anything you'd done, not because of anything you had said, not because of the way you looked. God simply chose you. You, because he loves you. He chose you to be holy and blameless, this next verse 4 tells us. That we know that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We haven't always done what God has told us. And we know from Scripture that the soul which sins shall surely die. And we know that God's sin, or as we look at sins, God, our sins separate us from God. We know all of those things. And we know that God doesn't grade on the curve. He demands perfection. And in the Hebrew, the word for that without sin is kata. And he looks at that word sin, kata, and it's like the bullseye on a target. That's where you and I would have to hit. Every thought, every word, every deed, hitting the bullseye. Day in and day out. Perfect. But we know we're not perfect. We tell lies. The intentions of our thoughts and our hearts and our thinking is not always right. We know that we think things, we say things, we do things that we shouldn't do, and yet we know that those are not pleasing to God. And the Bible tells us those are sins. But let me teach you the two most powerful words in all of Scripture. There's only two of them. In Christ. You as a person and I as a person have become holy and blameless in Christ because of our relationship in Christ. Our identity being wrapped up with Christ. We are in Christ, and in Christ's holiness, we are made holy. And we are declared blameless. Our sins have been taken away from us, separated as far as the east is from the west. And believe me, my friends, I know because I've gone the wrong way, and they never meet up. Even when I eat peanuts, they still don't meet up. When you and I understand what God is doing, we need to understand that he also loved us enough to choose us and predestine us and to adopt us as his children, his sons and his daughters. It was his pleasure and his goodwill, according to verse 5 and 6. But you need to think about the Romans, who are so dominant in the culture of the Ephesians that Paul was speaking to. Oh, sure, they had adoption. You know how they adopted people? They'd wait till they're about Brandon's age. And they'd say, well, wow, that guy's an engineer. I think he's going to make something of himself. I think I'm going to choose him to be my son. And so, how old are you, Brandon? You said 32, right? So at that age of an adult, they might choose you as their heir. They might choose you to be a part of their family because of something you had done. You'd shown yourself, you've accomplished something. You're a man of integrity or a woman of integrity. And then you would be chosen. You know when God chose you? He chose you before you breathed the breath of air. He'd already recorded your names in the book of everlasting life. He knew you by name when you were being knit together in your mother's womb. He knew you by name. He chose you before you were. Not because of anything you did, said, looked like, or would become. God simply chose you because he loved you. He chose you.
Out of all the other people, out of all the other places, you can say God chose you. And I know there's people out here in our world and in our community that don't feel very loved. They don't feel very welcomed. They just simply don't feel as though there's a plan or a purpose for their existence or for their life. And I want you to know that Jesus Christ is there telling you today in this book of Ephesians, Paul's words, God's word is telling you, God chose you. God chose you. I remember what it was like when I was the youngest kid in the neighborhood. When I got chosen to be on the men's softball team, and I wasn't even in high school yet. I was chosen. Me? Yeah, we want you. Chosen. It's a special word. And it's the word God uses for you because God chose you. He pointed you out. I want you. You're my child. It's a powerful and a precious word, but we also understand in Christ we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our sins in according with the riches of God's grace, which He's lavished, spread thickly on us, pouring His grace out real thick. We become holy and blameless in Christ. But without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness. And in fact, in the book of 1 John, it says, the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sins. And the word redeemed is also so rich and powerful. I want to take a second to share it with you. How many of you came from a state where pop cans, soda cans, beer cans were redeemed? You remember? Did you get a nickel or a dime or something like that? Wasn't that it? And so as a result, you go out and you collect them as a kid and you come in with a sack full and you say, hey guys, I want to redeem my cans. And then they would pay you that nickel or that dime for each one of those cans. Well, I want you to know that those cans would have rusted, been destroyed, just left to rot and ruin and pollute and do whatever else they would be doing had they not been redeemed. But because they had been picked up and redeemed, they were melted down and restored and refined and repurposed and reshaped and sent back out as something new. Well, I want you to know my Toyota, my old Toyota, was recycled as a car. It originally were 2 6-packs and a can of cream corn. That's what it was. And so when we start to think about all that things, we start to see how God uses, even in our modern technologies, something to demonstrate His purpose of redeeming us. We, without Christ, would have been left to rot. Left to rust, simply removed and put aside in the trash heap. But because Christ has come into our life and into our world, we, by the power of the Holy Spirit, God is redeeming us. He's paid a price for that, and it was the blood of His own Son, Jesus Christ. And He redeemed us, and what He did was He paid the price for it, but then He took us and works individually in our lives, and He, instead of letting us just rust out and rot, we're reshaped and reformed and remolded and renewed, transformed, regenerated, made new creatures, as 2 Corinthians said, Paul says. As you and I look at that, we are reclaimed for Christ and His purposes. And He made us to know also the mysteries of His will and of His good pleasures, which He purposed in Christ, which give us effect in the world to come, certainly, but also here and now. Abba, Father, Scripture tells us as we call Him Daddy, you have a Heavenly Father whom you can approach with confidence and courage no matter what situation you're in. You can ask anything in the name of Jesus. You can go ahead and climb up in His lap and sit there
and take rest and comfort in your Heavenly Father. In fact, I invite you to do so, to spend a little time with Abba Daddy, to pray and ask Him His will for your life, to ask Him, how, Lord, can you make me sure of what's going on in my world now, what your will is? To talk with Him about the things that are going on with your kids or with your mom or with your dad or the sickness that surrounded you. Asking your Abba Daddy, that one that you can take all things to Him, speak to His heart. And like my mom at the hospital, He'll give you His answer. He did it simply because He loves you. Having believed, you and I are marked with a seal, the promise of the Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are in Christ's possession comes. Verse 14. Right back there is the baptismal fount. God's Word and God's water combined to seal you into the family of faith. Bread and wine combined with the promises of God's holy word, given to you as Jesus says to you in His words, take, eat, take, drink for the forgiveness of your sins. I looked at the back of my Wheat Thins box, and it said, guaranteed awesome. I thought, this is pretty cool. Awesome, what does that mean? And they said, go ahead and eat. Awesome. I ate them, and they were awesome. But what I want you to know, that God has given you a certificate of authenticity. God so loved the world that He gave Jesus. God chose you. God made you holy and blameless in Christ. God predestined and adopted you in Christ. God redeemed and forgave you in Christ. God told you the secrets and mysteries of this world there and here and now, as well as what is to come in Christ. God marked and He sealed you in Christ. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts, your souls, and your mind in Christ Jesus. Amen. Seated. My fault. Please stand for the reading, the Nicene Creed. My apologies. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, Son of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit, the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets, and I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Please stand. The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It
is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death in the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing, and Savior, we indeed do give you thanks for the forgiveness of our sins, the strengthening of our faith, the message of your love and of your forgiveness, and the hope that that gives us in this life, in this world, as we await and prepare for the next life, with the promise of everlasting life to be spent in your glory and splendor, in a place where there's no more sickness or suffering or death or dying. We thank and praise you. We thank you for preparing for us such a place and for paying the price and the penalty that it costs to redeem us, to restore us, to reshape us, to renew us, to repurpose us. Help us to live out our life in a calling worthy of you, Jesus, and to live a life that is in your way, marked and sealed by your Holy Spirit as we walk and serve you. Jesus, hear our prayer. We also pray, O Lord, that you would bless our church and our school as we near this 100th anniversary and begin the second century. May you help us to reach out and to go and to make disciples of all people, both in our church and in our school, but especially outside in this community. Help us to be those who will be ambassadors of reconciliation, your servants sent to uplift those who are surrounded by the shadows of sadness. Help us, O Lord, be with us and make us vessels of your grace and your mercy as we pour out our lives onto this community. May others see the light and the hope that you give, not only us, but they too can possess. Lord, in your mercy. And now, O Lord, hear the prayers that have been requested this day.
Lord, the congregation lifts up to you the following prayers. Pray for Holly Catherine, the praise for her birth, for her health. And we also pray for Amy, the mother of Holly Catherine and Greg's niece, prayer for her health after giving birth, her first child, on Thursday. I also pray for Lois Raymond, Doherty's mother, for healing for an infection of her toe. Pray for Peggy Trapp, my mother-in-law, for safe travels to and from North Carolina. Pray for Tina O'Brien, my mother, for recovery from knee replacement surgery. We pray for Julie. She's facing cancer and is getting married in August. Prayers for her fiance, and family as she starts treatment. We pray for Katie. Prayers for health problems after her ninth year after a kidney transplant. We pray for Liz, who's on a mission trip to Ethiopia. May she be kept safe, filled with the Holy Spirit as she shares the Word of God with over 200 children. Pray for Jacob for another year after his birthday today. Lord, in your mercy.
Lord, we also pray and give you thanks for the pastor, Jim Edge, on this anniversary of his ordination and service to you. We also thank you for his wife and daughter who have visited us, and we pray for their safe travels as they return to Georgia this day. And now we together pray that prayer you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in the same night in which he's betrayed, took bread, and when he had broken it, he gave it unto his disciples, and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given unto death for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, after Christ had supped and had given thanks, he gave them the cup, saying, "Take and drink ye all of it, for this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is given and is shed for you for the remission of all your sins. As often as you drink this, do it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
As you often eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Drink the true blood of Christ, given unto death for you, the remission of all your sins. And now may this true body and blood of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus strengthen and preserve in us the true faith. Amen. Table of the Lord. Ulysses, take and eat. Mary Lou, take and eat. Bob, thank you. Take and eat the body of Christ, given unto death for you. John, the body of Christ, given unto death for you. Margaret, the body of Jesus for you. Betty, the body of Christ, given unto death for you. Norma, the body of Christ for you. Lynn, the body of Christ, given unto death for you. Linda, the body of Jesus for you. Nita, the body of Jesus for you. Greg, take and eat the true body of Christ. Anna, the body of Christ given unto death for you. Darty, take and eat the body of Christ. John, given unto death for you. Table of the Lord. Take and eat, Diane, the body of Christ, Doug, given unto death for you. Wendy, the body of Jesus. Brian, given unto death for you. Mary, the body of Jesus given for you. Jesus bless you and keep you. You are his children by his virtue of his life in you. It's alive and giving you faith. Thank you. Christ. Maddie, the Lord Jesus bless you and keep you. Dan, take and eat the true body of Jesus, given unto death for you, remission of all your sins, strengthening of your faith. Take and eat the body of Christ, given unto death for you, the body of Christ, Mary, the body of Christ. Vanessa, given unto death for you. Welcome to the table of the Lord. Lydia, take and eat the true body of Christ. Nina, given unto death for you. God bless. Desiree, take and eat the body of Christ. Jaron, the body of Christ for you. Take and eat the true body of Christ for you. Take and eat the true body of Christ. Welcome to the table of the Lord. The body of Christ given unto death for you. Tim, the body of Christ for you. The body of Christ. Jamie, given unto death for you. Sorry. Take and eat. The true body of Christ. Kelly, given unto death for you. Lord bless you and keep you. Jim, take and eat. The true body of Christ given unto death for you. Lord bless you. Jesus loves you. Take and eat. The true body of Jesus given unto death for you. Welcome to the table of the Lord. Take and eat, Wendy. The body of Christ given unto death for you, Eric. The body of Christ, Ted. Given unto death for you. Lo, the body of Christ given unto death for you. Jesus, given unto death for you. Give it to you. The body of Christ, given unto death for you. And now may this body and blood of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus strengthen and preserve in you the true faith and the life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Amen. Receive now the benediction of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. You may be seated, and for our announcements.
Good morning, Trinity.
Good morning.
So on the 29th, immediately following this service, that's a Sunday, about 12:15, a special voters meeting is scheduled. It was moved from last weekend, I think it was, so that we could get all the final numbers together to bring the campus rejuvenation project together as far as the finances and all the details of that. So it's always a moving target, but we're doing our best to bring it to you on time. Something is scheduled next Friday night that is going to be, what was it? Guaranteed awesome.
Yes.
As far as I'm concerned, at least. So Friday, July 20th from 6 to 8, and I have a key, I can stay late. It's game night at Trinity. So there's going to be hot dogs and food, and I'm bringing my favorite game, so if anyone wants to challenge me to it, Rummy Cube. Pastor says he's going to bring Candyland, so anyone that wants to play that with him is more than welcome to. They do need an RSVP in the church office to know how much food to have ready, but I hope to see you all there.
But before you do, I'd like to ask, who could we challenge to eat the most hot dogs?
I'm not touching that one.
You're not touching that. I'm choosing peace.
Okay. And we have a special announcement from one of our CD staff, Stacy Carroll. Thank you for sharing.
Hey, good morning. So we've started a little summer service project here at Trinity called the Help for Hawaii. You can always go to the blog on the website, and Shanda's put a lot of information on there. But what kind of happened, I teach the 3 and 4 year olds here at Trinity, and they started to learn about rocks a few months ago. They were just really interested in rocks. And so rocks led us to volcanoes, and learning about volcanoes led us to learning about what was going on in Hawaii with the volcanic eruption over there. And the kids were, we listened to a story about a family there where a little girl had lost her birthday presents because her house was in the field of the lava flow. And the kids in my class were just really inspired by that. We've kind of had a motto this year, kinder than necessary, and we learned that from Augie Pullman in Wonder. And so the kids said, well, what can we do to help those children in Hawaii? How can we reach out to those families and be kind to them? So we got in touch with Christ Lutheran Church in Hilo, Hawaii. They're right near the where the volcano lava is, and they've actually had a couple of their congregation members lose their homes. And it's kind of different than our hurricanes here where, you know, we know the hurricane is coming, we go through a short time, and then we start recovering. With the lava flow, it's been weeks, and they've had to evacuate and then just kind of sit back and watch and see if their houses are going to get taken by the lava. So it's been a really trying time for them. So to help them, we're raising money, donations by gift cards. There's a list of gift cards that stores they have in Hawaii that we can help them with that. The CDC is raising school supplies. The summer camp program is doing toiletries. And so the kids have been talking about how their little small act of kindness by starting to help these families has rippled out into the school and now the church, and we're going to reach out into the community. And it's really been a great lesson for them to see how we can help people as far away from Hawaii with just one little start act of kindness. So come next Sunday, this volcano that the kids made will be out there in the narthex. You can all start making donations. And they wanted me to share this Bible verse with you. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. That's from Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. So we appreciate any help that you guys can give towards this fundraiser.
Thank you, Tracy.
Thank you, Stacy.
Thank you. Please stand and rise for our last and closing hymn.